coming.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us at the Johnny Scrozier Keeping It Real show.
Well, we watch that.
Well, Johnny, I tried to skip the song.
Now?
I tried to skip the song because I want us to go right into the message. I know that you're holding it down at church this afternoon because
we had
to come on air earlier than usual, and you're working at the church. And we praise God for you and for everybody who realizes what we have in you, a man of God. And so I'm going to turn it over to you right now to speak to the radio audience about whatever you want to, Johnny. Go right ahead.
Okay.
It's on you, Johnny. Yes, you're on the air.
Okay, I'm Johnny Scrozier. I'm coming live from church tonight. Didn't have time to get in. Had to go to church at Chapel Hill Baptist Church. And then I had to come over here to Dawes 30 United Methodist Church. They got a gospel concert going on, so I had to come over here and do the security. And when I got over here, I found out I had a young man, 10 years old, who was helping me do the security. I was proud to have him because I met this young man approximately about a month ago when he came into the office, and he sat down and we started talking. And he was telling me what he wanted to do in life. And very smart, intelligent young man. What's your name?
Quintavis.
And he was telling me something about his life and what he wanted to do in life. So I invited Mr. Quintavis on the air tonight. He's a 10-year-old black guy, black man, what I call all men. And
just want Quintavis to just tell you a little bit about himself. Okay, man, I'll start my show. Okay,
my name is Quintavis Sheffield. I'm an athlete. I like to play basketball and football. I played football for 3 years, and I play basketball for 1 year. And I like to play a lot. And sometimes I get good grades, and I like to have fun.
And Mr. Quintavis, do you go to church?
Yes, I love to go to church.
Do you don't get any trouble, do you?
Sometimes.
But when I talk to you, do you get any trouble?
No.
Will it make you feel bad? Will it make you feel good?
So good.
Okay, that's what I'm talking about. See, because Mr. Quintavis, you're a very intelligent young man. I got a lot of interest in you because I can see you do good things, okay?
Yes.
And I want you to keep up doing good things, okay?
Okay.
That was Mr. Quintavis. That was about 10 years old. That's my 10-year-old guy that I mentored to when he comes to church over in Dallas, Sterling. When he comes to Mama Brown, Mama Joe, and I try to stay with him as much as I possibly can. There is a
Johnny Scrozier, your sound is going in and out, Johnny Scrozier. Something's going on with your sound. We hear you talking, I think.
After 2013. When I came out of prison, I was 57 years old. I've been on the street now. I've been in society probably 2 years and 5 months. But my goal is to help all young men and all young women to see life. And I have a theory that I always say, if you think right, to act right.
Johnny Scrozier's sound is going in and out. I think he's trying to tell us that he was only 10 years old when he was sent to prison. Johnny Scrozier was first arrested when he was only 6 years old when he and friends burglarized an Atlanta warehouse to steal cigarettes for family members and candy for themselves. Now, he was first in prison at age 10, and his sentence was lengthened numerous times due to his lack of cooperation with the juvenile detention rules. He would run away from prison. He tried to get back home to his mommy. Later, his sentence was lengthened to 90 years after assaulting a prison guard. And so these are the circumstances that led this man to be incarcerated for 46 years, from 1968 all the way up to 2013 when he was in his mid-50s. By the time he was released from Georgia prison system, his mother, who he used to run away from jail to be with, had died. Yes, his dear mother passed away while he was held for over 40 years, in fact, 46 years. His mother died during that time. But you know, a warden told Jenny Strozier that he would never exit prison alive because he often escaped and was involved in gang activity. But Strozier changed. He became a Christian in the 1980s. And Mr. Strozier became active in church. You hear him right now talking to us from church. He got married. He gained his high school diploma while still incarcerated. He also became a certified cook and brick mason. Since his prison release, Strozier works. He counsels youths. He faithfully attends church. He has been presented to speak at prestigious engagements before college student bodies, civil rights officials, and church congregations. In fact, Strozier assembled a group of churches and individuals to help other released inmates find their subsistence assistance, encouragement, and a spiritual family. Strozier will share information about reentry opportunities, the importance of avoiding behavior that leads to incarceration, and he plans interviews with people who can share valuable information that will improve the lives of former inmates and at-risk youths. You can phone Mr. Strozier at 678-516-4993. Again, Mr. Strozier's telephone number is 678-516-4993, where he is available for speaking engagements. And he will tell your children, your youth, and your returning prisoners how bad it can be for people to be caught in the prison system, and how easily we can turn our lives over to God and avoid a whole lot of trouble, danger, and inconvenience. Now, let me see if his phone is straightened out to speak to us yet. Mr. Strozier, are you there?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Your phone was breaking up, and so I thought I'd tell them a little background information about you. Go right ahead. The show is yours, sir.
Okay. My name is John Strozier. As Ms. Mayor said, I was born in 1968. I didn't go for a murder, rape, or child molester, or none of that, no violent crime. I went because a man put his hands on my mama, and that man became to be my dad. And when my daddy did what he did, and I went to prison, retaliated against my dad. But in 1973, my mother, God bless her soul right now, that she had to defend herself, so she killed her in 1973. But while in prison, my daddy got killed, and I felt kind of resentment and anger, and the anger just built up. And then finally, you know, it just got out of control. I was out of control. Because when you get anger in you, you get out of control, your whole body and your whole being as a man go out of control. You just don't care no more. And, you know, I remember people used to try to talk to me and tell me things, but I didn't want to listen. I was doing my own thing, and I didn't want to hear nothing they had to say. But, you know, as time went on and you in prison and you going through what you went through, I went through beating, I don't went through mistreatment, I don't have people put me in isolation, I done been on one meal every 3 days. I done been through some things that a normal man, a normal human being man, couldn't have withstood. You know, and I thank God today that I'm here, that I withstood, that he brought me through, that he gave me the strength that he gave Joseph. See, God gave Joseph a strength like no other. He gave Joseph a supernatural strength. And that's what God gave me. God gave me a supernatural strength. just withstand the 46 years that I spent in hell. I spent 46 in hell. I spent 46 and I had to fight. I had to live around murderers, rapists, and child molesters. At 21 years old, I did my first stabbing because I seen my first murder. By 26 years old, I was in solitary confinement. I spent 15 years in solitary confinement, coming out my cell 1 hour a day, taking a shower, and going back in my cell for another 23 hours a day lockdown. Yeah, and so this was the type of lifestyle that I lived. So what happened was, when I came out of prison, my main goal was to come out and educate the general public, the communities, work with the young youth, young black men, because we're tired of seeing so many of our black youth up in the prison system. Instead of George, they got 90,000 inmates. They got 90% of them is black. And 17, most of the inmates in prison are 17 and up. You know, because there's so many men that come in prison, they have to go through so much. I remember the heartbreaking, back-breaking work I had to do in Reedville State Prison. I had to pick beans and pick peas and pick potatoes and be out in the hot sun all day long from sun up to sundown. And coming in, only to have somebody call me a nigga and tell me to get my you-know-what up the hallway. And I feel like no more than a slavery back in the 1800s. But I remember, you know, the warden telling me that I'd never get out of prison. The warden telling me that I'd die in prison. I had 90 years in prison, 90 years. And I'm trying to figure out how I was going to do these 90 years, what I was going to do, how I was going to live it. If can I escape? Is it possible? You know, all type of things came to my mind. Kill yourself. That's what the devil said. The devil said, kill yourself. You ain't going to never get out. And I almost did it. You know, I took a shoe string, put it around my neck, and jumped from the ball. You know, and the shoe string went all the way through my neck, almost killed me. That was the devil had me doing. The devil had me in so much pain that I almost killed myself. But, you know, God had other plans. So what happened was when I didn't die, that let me know that God had other plans for my life. I didn't know what they were, so what I started doing is I started making a plan. I started making a plan, and I said, God, I'm going to make this plan, and I want you to direct this plan. So God made the plan. I made a plan. God directed the plan. And then when as life went on, I remember the Lord telling me that I'd never get out of middle state of segregation. You'd never get out. You the most damaged man in this prison. So then I'm a man came in my cell. He said, Mr. Stone, he said, the warden told me, you the baddest man in the prison. He said, but I know a man that can change you. And I tell the warden, who can change me? Can't nobody change me. I'm John Scott. You know, I thought all that old macho that so many young men do. So many young men think they're macho. They think they know it all. They think they got it all together. They think they got it all together. They ain't got it all together. So what happened was, you know, when they think they got it all together, and come here, when they think they got it all together, then they think you know you don't have it all together. So what happened was, I can't walk too far because the church thing, I can't hear. So what happened was when this man came to my door and started telling me about Jesus Christ, and I didn't know Jesus, and I kept wondering how I was going to get out of this cell block. But that night, something kept dealing with me in the prison system. And I know then that I had to accept Jesus. I had to accept him then. Wasn't no waiting around. So what I did, when I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior, and when this man came back to me, I said, hey, send that pastor up here. I want to talk to him. And we got to talking. And right then, I did the sinner's prayer. In 1985, I got saved. that it was another 20 years before God delivered me out the hands of Pharaoh. Because I was in the hands of Pharaoh, I had to do what Pharaoh said do. I had to live like Pharaoh said live. I had to bow down like Pharaoh said bow down. I had to say yes, sir, no, sir, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. And when the warden come in the building, I had to stand in attention. I had to learn obedience, not disobedience, but obedience. So when I learned obedience, then I learned self-control. Then self-control, then after, well, you know, if I learned all this here, then I learned how to put on the new man and take off the old man. So when I put on the new man and took off the old man, I became a new creature in Christ. And then that's when things started to move. In 2005, I transferred away from Reedsville State Prison. God, thank you for that. Went to Fairfax State Prison. They told me, they said, you get a GED or high school diploma, we'll let you out of prison. I didn't know how I was going to get a GED. I didn't think I could pass a GED. I didn't know I could pass a high school diploma. But I said, he said, I said, God said that I can have the best. God said that I can have it if I want it. God said if I want it, I can have it. So I said, well, I'm going to take a high school diploma. So I took a high school diploma test. I passed it. I passed it. We're on. I went on to graduate from, I became the first inmate in Georgia prison system history to get a high school diploma in a state prison. Went on and came out of prison, got out of prison July 31st, 2013. They kept telling me, they said, well, we're going to let you out January 1st. You can have to serve 7 to 6 months. Oh, I was so happy I called home and told everybody, hey, I'm finna get out. I'm finna get out January 1st, 2013. January 1st, 2013 came, they told me, they made a mistake. I got the paperwork. They made a mistake. But I kept on praying to God, make a mistake too. I kept on praying to God. I kept on going to church. I kept on reading my Bible. And I kept on giving God glory. And then, you know, everything they throwing at me, I gave God the glory. 2013, July 31st, I received paperwork from Atlanta. I walked out of Memphis State Prison after serving 4 to 6 years in prison, a free man. But I came in society with a plan. See, I wasn't going to come out here in society and be a sophisticated. I wasn't going to come out here and hit the revolving door like they thought I would. They thought I was going to come out of prison after being in 4 to 6 years. They're going to think I don't know nothing. Come out here and hit a revolving door and go right back in like some people do. I came out here hitting the ground running. I came out here. I went to Middle Georgia Tech, graduated with 800 hours in baking and cooking, came out here certified chef. Went down to CNN and got my first job. Went down to Ricky Brown, got a job making $10 an hour. Demolition one, tearing down building. Went down to Piccadilly, got a job in Cottonwood. Went down to Piccadilly, went to Meals on Wheels. Went down Commerce Drive, down to Meals on Wheels, cooking. Cooking for a senior citizen daycare for people that had old time. Went on from Meals on Wheels, went down to Dogwood Senior Citizen Center, head cook. Fulton County, working for the county. Fulton County. Now, man, this came out of prison. I was serving 4 to 6 years working for Fulton County at a senior citizen center on Donald Howard Boulevard over in Bankhead. Left there, I went down to Southern Buffet, making $800 a month. Left there, went to Riverdale, working for a man at Riverdale Management Plus, making over $500 a week, $600 a week. Things that people were telling me that I couldn't do, I was doing it. People were telling me, oh, you can't get no job. You just came out of prison. You're a convicted felon. You did this and you did that. Don't listen to that. That's a bunch of baloney. What God say you can do? What God say you can do? And God said, all things are possible through me. God said, all things is possible through me. So I don't let man or woman tell me what I can't do. I let God tell me what I can do. You follow what I'm saying? So I'm letting all the young kids know in society, around the world, or whoever listens to this program, you can do whatever you want to do. Whatever job you want to have, you can have it. And if I can do it, you can do it. That's what I used to tell guys when I was in prison. If I can do it, you can do it. If I can accomplish it, you can accomplish it. So don't ever let nobody tell you what you can't do. But my message is just right here. My message is to all the young kids, all the kids in games. I was talking to a young man the other day, 14 years old, about to beat his grandmama up. I'm saying, I'm taking a young man out of the street. I'm talking to him. I said, look, man, what's the problem here? My grandmama won't let me do this. My grandmama won't let me do that. 14 years old. All you got to do is go to school. Well, the teacher's messing with me, and they doing this to me, and they doing that to me. Hey, look, all you got to do is shut up. If you don't say nothing, they can't say nothing. If you go in classroom and do what you're supposed to do, handle your business in your classroom, get good grades, do what you got to do. If somebody messes with you in your classroom, your teacher harassing you, get you a piece of paper, write you a statement, take it to the principal office. You know what I'm saying? Me and you have them on paper. That you making a complaint, a legitimate complaint that they harassing you. You know what I'm saying? So they can't just say anything and say, oh, the kid is crazy. Kids is not crazy. You follow what I'm saying? You got some small kids right here. They can do some things I can't do. That's why I'm so fascinated with them. Because they do things that I can't do. They can take a phone and take it apart and put it back together again. They can run a computer. They can take it apart and put it back together again. I believe they can take a car apart and put it back together again. Because that's how smart they are. You know what I mean? But all they need is just a little bit of hand. They just need a little bit of hand, a little bit of love. Somebody say, hey, look here. You doing good, man. Keep it up. Before I want to, I run to a lot of little kids. I'm standing next to a little man right now, 10 years old. He'll be up under me like, boy, I'm telling you, he'll be up under me like my whole little brother. You follow what I'm saying? And I can tell you now, I love him. I love him the first day I talk to him. You know what I'm saying? I love him the first day I talk to him. I gave him my phone number. I said, call me anytime you want to call me. Anytime. You got a problem, let me know about it. I come over to your house. When you come over and hang out with you, I come over and hang out with you, go shoot some hoops, go swimming, go to a movie, do some stuff. I like doing stuff like that. You know, if that boy don't take to keep you straight and keep you on the move and keep you going forward, yeah, I come do that with you. You know, because that's what my program is designed for. My program is designed at kids. You feel what I want to say? I got a lot of people that are like a PIC program down at you got a lot of programs going on. You got a PIC program going on down in Atlanta, every check got it. You know what I mean? You got a lot of programs going on there. I talked to some people on yesterday down in the West End Mall who supposed to have been calling me last night, but the time got messed up. And they had some programs that they wanted to share with the general public about where people can get involved and help programs and stuff like that for kids and a whole lot of stuff that people need to know about that they don't know about. And if you don't never go nowhere, if you don't never go down somewhere, if you don't never go to the mall, if you don't never leave your house, if you don't never go in the community, if you don't never talk to nobody, then you ain't going to never know nothing. You got to get out and see somebody. Go to church. And then when you're going to meet somebody, you're going to find out about something. Right now, I went to church this morning about 7 o'clock. I'm still in church. Hey, it's almost 7 o'clock again. I'm still in church. You know what I'm saying? I'm still out here doing what I do. I'm out here praising the Lord, trying to help somebody, see what I see or go where I'm going. You know, the blessing one for me, the blessing for me to pass it on. Right now, I want to bring on my little friend right here and let him talk a little bit more. But what I want him to talk about is I just want him to talk about himself. You know, I want y'all to hear what my 10-year security guard, that's what I call him. I call him my 10-year-old security guard. He out here with me at Dodge Stadium United Missionary Church on Brownsville Road. We can't move, but we're in the back of the church because we go out in the front of the church, the noise is getting the phone. So I'm going to let my 10-year-old have the phone for a few minutes, and I'm going to let him talk and tell y'all a little bit about himself and let y'all know what his plans are. And if anybody want to get his life, you know what I mean? Call in or give him some advice. You know what I mean? You're a good little kid. Okay, I'm going to let him have it right now, okay? Tell me your name.
Mr. Johnny Stroger, I want you to know you have a caller on 5157 also. Go right ahead, okay. Young man.
Go ahead.
All right, my name is Quintavious Sheffield. I'm an athlete. I love to play football and basketball. Okay, so I met Johnny at Don Shirley, and I was just walking around. Then I saw him, and then he had started talking to me, and then I started talking to him, and then we had a good relationship. So But that's when we walked in the office, we started talking and stuff. And then he gave me a little money to put in my pocket. And that's when we started talking. He told me a little bit about his life and how he went to jail. And it's just good to be with him. And it's fun.
Okay, that's my little 10-year-old, my little partner, my little deputy sheriff. Okay. Okay, Miss Mary, who's you on the line for me?
We have 5157 online, 5157.
5157, go ahead.
Good afternoon. I have nothing to say at this point. I'm just listening in.
Oh, okay.
Well, thank you.
Who is this? It sounds like one of my church members.
She says she has nothing to say at this point.
Okay.
So she's just listening in. We appreciate
okay.
all the callers here at Johnny Strozier, Keeping It Real. Johnny Strozier welcomes your calls and your comments and your questions because
okay.
we would like to use his life experience to show you that prisoners are people too. Most prisoners have a release date in their files. And so we would like for them all to be rehabilitated like Johnny Strozier was when he was released. Johnny Strozier was allowed to take classes in cooking, brick masonry, and other skills so that he came out and looked for a job and found jobs. He understood how to fill out job applications because he got his high school diploma while he was incarcerated. We feel that rehabilitation programs for prisoners are very important, and we want to congratulate the Georgia prison system for recognizing something in Johnny Strozier. They recognized Johnny Strozier was a changed man, and they gave him opportunity to prove that to the world and to show the world that there is life after prison and that things will work if you work them. Johnny Strozier, encourage your fellow released prisoners to do right, and right will follow them.
Now, Miss Mary.
Yes, sir.
Miss Mary.
Yes.
What did you just say, ma'am?
I said, I would like for you to please take a few moments to encourage released prisoners to change their attitude and seek for opportunities to do right so that right will follow them. We have 2 minutes left.
Oh, yes, ma'am. I think that all prisoners, wherever you are, in the state of Georgia, around the world, wherever you may be, I want you to stop thinking about what you can't do and start thinking about what you can do. You got the mind. You got the mind in your head. So what you do is you go out there and you put your mind to what you're going to do. If you can't get a job, make a job. Start your own business. That's what I do. You know what I'm saying? When I don't get no job, when people say they ain't got no work for me, I go out there and start my own business. You know how to do what you do. You got some of the most smartest people in prison. People in prison, if you're listening to me, you know I know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about. If you know that you can go to prison, if a man can take a piece of rye, put a spoon in it, and cook some chicken in a bucket and feed the whole dog, you know what I'm talking about. We got some of the most smartest people in prison coming out. People that can read books, people can do law work. You got some people in prison that's better lawyers than some lawyers on the street. You got people in prison that can write books and do all kinds of stuff. So use what you learn in prison, bring it out here in society, and make it work for you. You do what you got to do.
Amen. Well, thank you, Johnny Strozier. I want you to know, ladies and gentlemen, that Johnny Strozier took time away from the church today to talk to us, and we look forward to his show next Saturday night at 9 p.m. on Human Rights Demand. God bless you. Come again. Yes, sir.
I want my friend want to say one more thing before you go.
Oh, absolutely.
All right, there was a movie about this Bad Boys, and it was this boy he had, and it was this guy he had some big old glasses, some thick glasses, and he was real smart about computers, and they used him to find somebody that they needed in order for them to like finish their work. Okay, I'm done.
Wonderful. So the young man gave us another example of how someone who was in prison was helpful to society, helped
right.
find a criminal. Some of the best people, I've read about people coming out of prison and teaching police and teaching other people about home security because they know what robbers look for. They know how to protect your property. And so I've read about that, and I thank the young man for pointing that out. We know that prisoners are people. We know there are human beings and that they have many talents and skills, and we don't have any throwaway people, do we, Mr. Strozier?
No, ma'am. And you know what I do right now? You know what I'm doing at Dog Studies?
What's that?
I do security at Dog Studies, United Missionary Church. I do security at Chapel Hill Baptist Church, and I also do security at a VIP club starting next Saturday.
Wonderful.
Yeah,
wonderful.
So cause we do know what to look for, you know, because at one time we used to be doing those things, so we know what it's gonna be to look for things, right?
That's right. You know what type of behavior to look for when a person looks like they're trying to hide something or get away with something. You recognize that probably better than others. And so who would be better for security than a reformed person who was once a criminal himself? And so we thank God that God turned your life around and that you're now working on behalf of securing people and helping people be safe. And we thank God for Jenny Strozier.
Uh-huh.
Next Saturday night, we look forward to your show being back at its regular schedule at 9 p.m. on Human Rights Demand channel at Blog Talk Radio. We got off base when I had to input credit card information to have you on your regular time. And I just now ordered new credit cards with the new bank account I have. So all of our shows are a little bit off schedule this past week. But we'll get it together hopefully this week coming up. So we thank the audience for joining us. I'll let you sign off now, Mr. Strozier.
Okay, I just want to sign off right here just by giving everybody a prayer. You know what I mean? I'm going to say a prayer. So I want to thank you for allowing us this opportunity right now to come together on this radio station so I can let the people know in society what really going on, what God is doing, how God is blessing our people and how we are moving forward in life. I want to thank God right now for life, health, and strength. I want to thank God for all the people that he put in my path and put in my life and guide me. I want to thank God for all the people that gave me the opportunity right now. Heavenly Father, I just want to thank the Lord for and I want to thank the Georgia Department of Correction for teaching me the things that I need to know while I was in there, because without them, without God putting me in there and without them teaching me what I need to know, I probably wouldn't be here today walking down the street right now with this young man. So I just want to thank everyone, and I want to thank the Lord for allowing me the opportunity right now. In Jesus' name, in heaven, I pray.
You're the your heart.